morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Friday, March 31st, 2006. I'm Jake Wallner.
And I'm Chris Andre.
Coming up on KBOO Morning News, a former tree sitter is charged with the 2001 arson at the University of Washington. The Army bans the use of privately bought armor. And Condoleezza Rice inspires protests across the United Kingdom.
In Portland, the deadline to qualify for public money was Thursday, and already new financing formula in which candidates who agree to cap spending get money to campaign has changed local politics. Incumbents face more challenges this year than in the past. Relative unknowns and neighborhood activists enjoy unprecedented access to big-time bully pulpits. Commissioners Dan Saltzman and Eric Sten have limited their spending. Saltzman voluntarily and Sten by accepting public money. Under Oregon law, only registered voters can sign to put an issue on the ballot. Yet when they crafted the financing fund, Sten and City Auditor Gary Blackmer decided not to require donors to be voters for fear of undermining a basic goal, to bring new people into the political process. Just who can contribute probably will be part of the post-election conversations a Citizens Commission has about the fund's future. Jason Williams, an opponent of public financing with the Oregon Taxpayers Association, says that at the very least, people younger than 18 should not participate.
A state agency that finances court-appointed lawyers for indigent criminal defendants spends up to $2.4 million a year representing people who are not financially eligible for the state assistance. The news came in an audit from Secretary of State Bill Bradbury's office yesterday. The Office of Public Defense Services, a part of the judicial branch of state government, also is failing to collect about $885,000 a year in application fees and contributions from defendants who could afford to make the payments, the auditors estimated. An audit from a random sample of 203 criminal cases during the last quarter of 2004 found that about 10% of defendants did not meet financial eligibility standards for court-appointed counsel. Some of the defendants had the income to pay a lawyer. Others had assets that could tap to contribute to their defense. The audit said the miscalculations by verification specialists in the agency cost the state between about $300,000 in defense expenses during the quarter.
U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Mike Leavitt was in Oregon yesterday to sign a memo of understanding with Governor Ted Kulongoski. The two officials are beginning the process of linking federal efforts with state and local efforts to combat the next great flu pandemic. The current strain of bird flu, known by scientists as H5N1, hasn't evolved into an extremely deadly human-to-human virus yet. It's a candidate to make that leap. The federal government will handle its responsibilities, such as tracking potential diseases before they become pandemics, as well as stockpiling vaccines and antiviral medications.
Marion Polk Food Share's delivery truck soon will spread the sweet smell of cooking oil as they deliver food across the Mid-Willamette Valley. The four distribution trucks will be fueled by donated used cooking oil, processed entirely by the nonprofit group's staff. Distribution center manager Paul Vermeer and some of his warehouse staff members learned how to turn the greasy liquid into fuel Wednesday. Burning biodiesel instead of regular diesel also reduces carbon dioxide and particulate matter emissions. Aside from reducing environmental impacts, Marion Polk Food Share is taking its role as a fiscally responsible nonprofit seriously.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez yesterday said that evidence in a dismissed case against an Ashland branch of an Islamic charity will remain confidential. Gonzalez was in Portland to meet with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Oregon and to address a breakfast meeting of the Portland Business Alliance. He said certain kinds of information can be and should be withheld. Gonzalez declined further comment on the case, saying it's in litigation. A federal lawsuit seeks to shut down electronic surveillance by the National Security Agency, claiming the government illegally wiretapped conversations between the director of the Islamic charity Al-Haramain and two of the charity's attorneys. The charity has been indicted on tax charges relating to money laundering in 2004, but the charges were dismissed. Lawyers for the charity opposed the dismissal, saying they wanted to know what evidence the government had. One secret document in the lawsuit has been ordered held in a secure facility in Seattle, at least for now. U.S. District Judge Gar King decided that the document couldn't be held securely in a federal courthouse in Portland and shouldn't be held at the local office of the FBI, which is a defendant in the case. Gonzalez did not elaborate on the broader NSA wiretapping controversy beyond repeating President Bush's position that it's legal. This from the Seattle Times.
Prosecutors have prevailed over criminal defendants in five state cases stemming from a 2004 U.S. Supreme Court decision that cast doubt on Oregon sentencing guidelines. The last of the five cases was decided yesterday by the Oregon Supreme Court. The justices ruled that defendants cannot object to their prison sentences on appeal if judges increase their sentences based on aggravating factors such as the use of a gun or racial motivations, and defendants failed to object to them at the time of sentencing. The court's opinion, written by Justice Wallace Carson, came to the same conclusion in a similar case 3 weeks ago. The court decided three related cases December 30th. Oregon's 1989 guidelines take into account the seriousness of crimes and the criminal history of defendants. They allow judges to use aggravating factors to impose prison sentences exceeding the guidelines. But the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that leaving such decisions to judges violates the constitutional guarantee under the Sixth Amendment of a trial by jury.
Four people have been arrested following a domestic disturbance at a Salem home on Wednesday night, where police used tasers to subdue two of the suspects, including a pregnant woman. Police attempted to quell the disturbance and saw two people flee out of the back of the residence. Investigators said the pregnant woman tased was 19-year-old Brianna Graves. She was transported to Salem Hospital and later released. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
Brianna Waters of Berkeley, California, has become the first person directly charged with the 2001 arson at the University of Washington Center for Urban Horticulture. The crime has been linked to environmental activist groups. In 1999, Waters participated in a well-publicized tree-sitting protest in southwest Washington to protect old-growth forests. Yesterday, Waters pleaded not guilty to two counts related to the UW arson. The first count carries a mandatory minimum term of 5 years. The second, using or carrying a destructive device during a crime of violence, carries a mandatory minimum of 30 years. Waters is the 14th person implicated in a string of arsons in the Northwest, described by the government as domestic terrorism attacks tied to the Earth Liberation Front and the Animal Liberation Front, loose-knit underground groups of environmental activists. During a hearing yesterday in U.S. District Court in Seattle, Waters was ordered released on her personal recognizance on condition she surrender her passport. U.S. Magistrate Judge Monica Benton, citing the gravity of the case, also imposed electronic home monitoring on water when she returns to the Bay Area. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
We're going to go out now to pledge break. Don't forget, this is the KBOO Spring Membership Drive, and that means it is time once again to call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. I just want to say something about the program this morning coming up at 7:30. Annie and Melody are going to be talking about it, a disease that afflicts a great many Americans, affluenza. Most, I think, members of KBOO and volunteers are affluenza-free and have been for quite a while. Affluenza is an epidemic in this country, and I don't think we've got anything for it. The only thing that you can do is probably renew your membership or become a member of KBOO. It's interesting to note in the context of the news this morning that only when you have an affluenza epidemic could you have people who did property crimes being charged as terrorists, while it's all right for police to hit a pregnant woman with a taser. Think about that. Ani?
Oh, good morning.
Melody?
No, this is Grace and Aileen.
Good morning, Grace. It's great to be on the news this morning to talk with...
We're glad you're there.
Yeah, it's great to be on the news. This is a really exciting time down here at KBOO. We are down here for our spring membership drive, a time when we come... Only twice a year do we come together to raise the funds necessary to continue to bring you great news programming. And, you know, we are a great investment here at KBOO. We want you to join us this morning at 503-232-8818 and make a contribution to support the morning news. Think about an $80 contribution. That is our average contribution here at KBOO, and we'd love to have some news listeners calling in at that level. And in fact, for every contribution this morning, we have a generous volunteer here at KBOO who's going to add $10 onto all those contributions. So call in this morning. Now's the time.
Is that a deal or what? And $80 comes out to about, what, $7 a month?
Which is nothing.
Which is incredible. Yeah, that's a great deal. So give us a call, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO if you're out of the local calling area. And, you know, I just think that what Chris was saying is so absolutely right. I mean, this is a cure for affluenza, is becoming involved at KBOO, you know, because we get our heads filled with ideas and thoughts and concepts, you know. And, you know, it's like when you get to listen to KBOO and you know that you have that pride of ownership and that joy of ownership, you don't have to go to the mall.
That's right.
You don't have to go buy an SUV.
That's right. KBOO is a great place to spend your money. And in fact, in life, you don't have a, these days, we don't have a lot of control over what we have to spend our money on. We're so locked into a lot of bills. And as technology increases, most of us are locked into things like high-speed internet we just can't do away with. But KBOO is something where you can choose to spend your money here at any level that's comfortable for you. And you're still going to get this great 24 hours of programming. But the amount you contribute is directly related to the amount of programming we can bring you and how much we can grow. Now, again, we are a great investment. Over the years, we've had our rocky times, but at this point, we're not taking out bank loans at the end of the year. KBOO is financially stable, and we're growing. So when you invest your money with us, you know that you are helping a local community resource grow. And that means you're going to be able to turn on your radio for years to come and hear more news and more incredible cultural and musical programming that you're just not going to find elsewhere, and that is, in fact, diminishing elsewhere.
That is absolutely true. You know, KBOO's been around for 37 and a half years.
Wow.
Yeah, we started back in, I think that's even older than Aileen is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's older than me.
So that just shows that we have a tremendous staying power. And, you know, and I think we started out in a closet somewhere, and now we're in this great building and down on 20th and, Southeast 8th. I can't even talk yet. So I need some more caffeine. But, you know, the thing is that we are here and we're a constant element in the community. I mean, I was listening to KBOO 25 years ago. Time to go. They're saying to wrap it up, so let's go. 503-232-8818.
Two Democratic senators said yesterday they have found a way to pay for a program to fund rural schools without selling 300,000 acres of national forest, as the Bush administration has proposed. Senators of Montana and Oregon said their plan would raise $2.6 billion over the next 10 years for their rural schools program by closing a tax loophole they said allows some government contractors to avoid tax obligations. The bill is intended to circumvent a Bush administration plan to sell 300,000 acres of Forest Service lands to raise about $800 million for rural schools in 41 states. Lawmakers from both parties have denounced the plan, saying the permanent loss of public lands isn't worth the short-term gain to schools. They also said it wouldn't raise enough money to help rural governments pay for schools and other services.
The House next week will take up a bill to constrict the money-raising ability of nonprofit political groups that emerged as a substantial force in the 2004 presidential election. The bill to require groups known as 527s to register as political committees and abide by contribution limits is likely to meet resistance from Democrats. In 2004, the Dems relied on 527s as a key source of financing. The decision by GOP leaders to bring up the 527 bill separately could make it easier for the House and Senate to reach a compromise on lobbying and ethics legislation working its way through Congress. Senators from both parties warned against complicating the lobbying bill by combining it with controversial campaign finance issues, including that of 527s. But House GOP leaders have backed making that a part of their package. Nancy Pelosi said it was the height of hypocrisy that the Republicans were trying to limit 527s, but were not restricting trade associations and other business groups exempt from some rules applying to political committees.
Civil rights icon Rosa Parks and hundreds of other victims of segregation-era arrests would be pardoned, but not forgotten, under a bill passed unanimously by the Alabama House yesterday. The bill was amended to say that the arrest records would not be expunged or sealed from public view, but would be turned over to the State Department of Archives and History. That way, the records will provide a permanent record of civil disobedience that, in many cases, helped lead to desegregation. Some critics of the original legislation had argued that the pardons might cause history to forget such courageous acts as Parks' refusal to give up her seat to a white man on a Montgomery bus. The bill now goes to the Senate for debate. Those arrested or their family members could request pardons.
The body of a melon-headed whale, rarely found in Florida waters, washed ashore this week hours after four others were found dead or had to be euthanized because scientists determined they were too sick to be saved. The first was found dead Wednesday morning at Vero Beach. The others were discovered on Hutchinson Island later that day. All of the melon-headed whales, also known as Electra dolphins, were about 7 to 9 feet long and appeared thin and malnourished. Necropsies showed that the animals had ulcers in their stomachs, a sign of stress, and had not eaten for weeks. Much of Florida's coastal waters now are officially a dead zone, incapable of sustaining much marine life.
The recent killing of an unarmed Virginia doctor has raised concerns about what some say is an explosion in the use of military-style police SWAT teams in the United States. Armed with assault rifles, stun grenades, even armored personnel carriers, units once used only in highly volatile situations are increasingly being deployed on more routine police missions. Professor Peter Kraska, an expert on police militarism from Eastern Kentucky University, say that in the 1980s there were about 3,000 SWAT team deployments annually across the U.S., but now there are at least 40,000 per year. Kraska believes there has been an explosion of units in smaller towns and cities where training and operational standards may not be as high as large cities, a growth he attributes to the hysteria of the country's war on drugs. He adds, "I get several calls a month from people asking about local incidents, wrong address raids, excessive use of force, wrongful shootings. This stuff is happening all the time."
The jury in the trial of convicted Al-Qaeda plotter Zacharias Moussaoui has retired to consider whether he is eligible for the death penalty. Prosecutors said in closing arguments that Moussaoui had lied in custody to keep the 9/11 terror plot a secret. But Moussaoui's court-appointed defense lawyers said he was a fantasist and Al-Qaeda hanger-on who had no part in the attacks on New York and Washington. Moussaoui has pleaded guilty to 6 counts of conspiracy to attack the U.S. Defense lawyers appointed by the court had tried to stop the Moroccan-born Frenchman from testifying on the grounds that he would incriminate himself. Jurors must agree that Moussaoui's actions directly caused the deaths of September 11th if he is to be deemed eligible for the death penalty.
Army officials say soldiers will no longer be allowed to wear body armor other than the protective gear issued by the military. It is the latest twist in a running battle over the equipment of the Pentagon giving troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Army officials say that the order was prompted by concerns that soldiers or their families were buying inadequate or untested commercial armor from private companies, including the unpopular Dragon skin gear from California-based Pinnacle Armor. The move was a rare one by the Army. The directives are most often issued when there are problems with aircraft or other large equipment. Veterans groups immediately denounced the decision. The Army ban covers all commercial armor. It refers specifically to Pinnacle's armor, saying that while the company advertising implies that Dragonskin is superior in performance to the Interceptor body armor the military issues to soldiers, the Army has been unable to determine the veracity of these claims.
The Pentagon has requested hundreds of millions of dollars in emergency funds for military construction in Iraq, fanning the debate about U.S. long-term intentions there. The money will add to an existing bill of $1.3 billion for military construction in the Middle East and South Asia, primarily Iraq and Afghanistan, in the last 5 years. Much of the 2006 emergency funding is earmarked for beefing up security and facilities at just a handful of large air bases in Iraq. This has prompted some to ponder whether the U.S. has plans to maintain a permanent military presence, something the government has repeatedly denied. But those concerned include the U.S. House Appropriations Committee, which has demanded a master plan for base construction from the Pentagon before the money can be spent. A March 13th report accompanying the emergency spending legislation said the money was, quote, of a magnitude normally associated with permanent bases, unquote.
Canada's refugee board is to hear the asylum plea of a U.S. soldier who fled to Canada to avoid serving in Iraq. Josh Key served as an explosives expert in Iraq for 8 months. He deserted to Canada with his family in 2004. Key, who faces a court-martial if returned to the U.S., says he refuses to fight in a war he regards as immoral and illegal. About 20 U.S. soldiers have applied for asylum in Canada. Two have already had their applications rejected. The Immigration and Refugee Board said it was not convinced the men would face persecution if they were sent back to the U.S. They have said they will appeal against the decision. Speaking to the BBC, Key said he was in Iraq when he realized the war was unjustified. He says only the people that were getting hurt was the innocent. That was innocent Iraqi people as well as innocent soldiers. On his return to the U.S., he told the Army that he did not want to return, but was advised that he would face prison if he refused. It was then that he decided to desert.
Muslim leaders in Britain yesterday withdrew an invitation to U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to visit a mosque in the Blackburn constituency of the Home Secretary Jack Straw. Rice was due to go to the Masjid al-Hidayah Mosque tomorrow during her two-day tour of Blackburn and Liverpool as a guest of Straw. A Foreign Office spokesman said, "It's a pity we'll not be able to visit the mosque. Everything on this visit is being done with respect to the communities involved." Yesterday, about 40 parents and protesters gathered outside Blackburn's Pleckgate High School, which Rice and Straw are due to visit today. All across Britain, Condoleezza Rice has been greeted by protesters appalled at the violence and bloodshed in Iraq and American foreign policy in general.
Africa's farmland is rapidly becoming barren and incapable of sustaining the continent's already hungry population, according to a report published by the BBC. The report shows that more than 80% of the farmland in sub-Saharan Africa is plagued by severe degradation. This is a major cause of poverty and hunger in sub-Saharan Africa, where one in three people is undernourished. Population growth is leading to the overexploitation of farmland, depleting of soil nutrients. Farmers' inability to afford fertilizer is a major contributing factor, as well as deforestation, use of marginal lands, and poor agricultural practices play a role. More than 60% of Africa's population is directly engaged in agriculture, but crop productivity has remained stagnant, while cereal yields in Asia have risen threefold over the past four decades. In addition to removal by crop harvests, other factors contributing to nutrition depletion include loss of nitrogen and phosphorus through soil erosion by wind and water, and leaching of nitrogen and potassium.
According to the BBC, at least 66 people have been killed and 980 injured by several earthquakes in western Iran. The quakes, with magnitudes of up to 6.0, centered on remote villages between the industrial towns of Dorud and Borujerd in the province of Lorestan. About 330 villages have been damaged, some completely destroyed.
The Thai Daily newspaper Kham Chad Look today announced it had closed itself down for 3 days as a punishment for publishing an article that could have offended the country's king. The paper misquoted a reference to the king, Bhumibol, in a speech by Sondi Limthongkol, a leader of the movement to oust the Thai prime minister. Its chief editor has resigned over the incident. Around 2,000 pro-government demonstrators today gathered outside the paper's Bangkok headquarters, demanding to see the article's author. Police barricaded the building. The senior editor confirmed the paper was punishing itself for the mistake by shutting down for 3 days.
Something that we'll never do here at KBOO. We're not apologizing for anything, and we certainly owe that to our listeners. We want to go back now to Pledge Central and see how we're doing. I would love to hear some phones ring. Both Jake and I sitting here hoping that we hear from some listeners that are also up this early.
Let us know what the news means to you.
That's right, folks. It is our spring membership drive here at KBOO, and I want you to go to your phone right now and join us at 503-232-8818. You can hear some commotion in the background, and that is our membership drive volunteer party that's happening down here. We've got a whole crew of volunteers ready to answer the phones. We're coming together this morning to ensure that the news can get to you without being put through a corporate filter. That's what we're here to do, folks. You know, it doesn't take millions of dollars in the latest technology studios with people who are paid tons of money with tons of training to be there. In fact, this morning we've got Jake anchoring the news. This is his first time anchoring the news, and here at KBOO, we're training people. We're taking people off the streets and helping them learn what they need to know to be able to bring you the news. Regular folks, we're making that happen in a very grassroots way, and we need your support to continue to bring you the news. So call us at 503-232-8818.
You know, Aileen, I was thinking about that story about Condoleezza Rice and how she's, you know, dealing with all these demonstrations in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's probably going to be on the news tonight. Do you?
No.
On the network news or on the public radio news. And that's the thing about KBOO, is that we get to tell these stories, because these are what's really happening. And it's not about spin. It's not about, like, running it through the administration to make sure that it's acceptable to them. It's about really getting the news that we need to know. So if you believe in that and you believe in this free speech, then call us right now.
And if you believe in keeping Jake off the streets,
that's right. That's right. Let's keep Jake off the streets. 503-232-8818. Or if you're outside the immediate calling area, 1-877-500-KBOO.
You know, Grace, when there's a demonstration happening in the city and I go to it, or I'm not able to make it for some reason, but I want to know the reporting on it, I don't turn to the major media, because I've heard so many times that they estimate there were 200 people there, but really there were 700, or there were 25 arrests when really there was one and it was unrelated.
Yeah.
I come to KBOO when there is something happening in town and I want to know about it, especially if it's a progressive issue. I trust KBOO. I know the people who are out there on the street reporting for KBOO. They are my friends and peers, and I trust their reporting. I don't trust what I hear on the evening news. I wish I could. I wish I could turn on the TV and trust that, but I don't. But when I tune into KBOO, in the morning I wake up to KBOO, and in the evening I listen to KBOO, and this is where I get my news, and I trust it. And if you tune into KBOO and you have trust for our news programming and you believe what we're saying, or you at least use this news to supplement your other sources, that is worth supporting. And we need to hear from you at 503-232-8818. And in fact, it's the last few minutes of our challenge pledge, which is that for every person who becomes a member during the news, we're going to put an extra $10 on top of that, which is a great way to expand your dollars a little bit further this morning.
Yeah, we really need to hear from you. 503-232-8818. And please give us a call, or if you're busy and you're online, join KBOO online at www.kboo.fm, and then just click on the Join Now tab, and then you get some special online-only thank you gifts that you can ask for. This is really a cool thing. Kathleen just put it on our desk. If you make a $60 minimum pledge, you can get a subscription to the Nation magazine.
That's a great magazine.
That's a great magazine. Yeah, and this is like 24 weekly issues, so that is just a great deal. For and $60 minimum pledge, what a deal. How great is that?
Yeah, that's a really good deal. And, you know, folks, if you're outside the Portland calling area, we've got a toll-free number for you at 1-877-500-4000. 5266. And I know for some of you out there in the outlying areas outside of the urban center of Portland, for some of you, and I've heard you tell me this, the news is even more important to you because you have the fewer resources to find out what's really happening out there. And KBOO comes to you right into your home and brings you that news. You don't have to make a subscription. You don't have to turn on the TV. Just turn on your radio and KBOO's going to bring you this incredible programming. And folks, the way we do this, we have said no to advertising, no to corporate support for many, many years, corporate influence, and instead we ask you, the listeners. So join us this morning at 503-232-8818. Call right now.
And this has been the KBOO Morning News for Friday, March 31st, 2006. Portland area weather today, showers, lightly, slight chance in the afternoon, thunderstorms, highs around 55. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, lows around 40. Saturday, partly cloudy, chance of showers, highs around 55, lows around 40. Sunday, rain lightly, highs around 55, lows around 40. Thanks for joining us this morning for the KBOO Morning News. The newscast was edited by Becca Bartelson and Chris Andre. Our engineer is Becca Bartelson. The KBOO News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. And I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Jake Wolner.
Coming up this morning on your community radio station, of which you are a member because you called 503-232-8818. If you're outside the Portland area, you must have been calling 1-877-500-5266. Stand up, be counted, and let your voice be heard against corporate media.